Welcome back to Thin Line Believers. Hey, you got Adam again this week. It is Memorial Day. And the Bible says that no greater love has man than this, than to lay down one's life for your friends. So today we remember those who lay down their lives in service to our country. It's been said that freedom isn't free, and I think you can see that through history and especially at the cross, where freedom comes at a price. And so our freedom from death, from sin, from hell, it came at a great price. It came at the price of Jesus' life. And so I hope you enjoyed the long weekend, but I also hope that you took the time to really kind of ponder on why this national holiday exists. And, you know, for me, I know for Steve, we have a lot of friends who have served in our armed forces, who continue to serve. I have family who is serving. And so thank you to those who have served, who continue to serve. And we want to just lift up the families of those who have lost loved ones, who have given that ultimate sacrifice. And Heavenly Father, we just want to offer prayer for those who have paid that price. We pray that their families will be comforted, that they will receive peace that surpasses knowledge, that we would honor those who have gone before us and paid the ultimate sacrifice, and that their sacrifices will not be forgotten. Amen for that. So this week, I wanted to, and this actually, guys out there, this is me listening to my wife. You know, Steve and I sometimes run into a bit of a roadblock with these podcasts. Sometimes we just run out of ideas. And, you know, I expressed that to my wife, and she said, well, why don't you just go through the Bible? And, you know, she's got a good point, but I think there's a lot of much more qualified Bible teachers out there whose names I've mentioned on here many times before. But, you know, there's a lot more competent Bible teachers out there. And I don't think that necessarily, Stephen, my goal is to become book-by-book teachers, although I wish I could. I wish I had that depth of knowledge, and I'm always working toward that. However, I think our goal is to just reach out to those who are in this field of work and point to what works. And Jesus works. You know, whether it's stresses, you need hope, you need peace, this job, and along with those who are veterans, it brings a unique set of challenges. And so Steve and I want to point to Jesus. We want to tell you our stories. We want to tell you what's worked for us and what continues to work for us and what's ultimately the meaning of it all. And the meaning of it all is enjoying God and enjoying being enjoyed by God. So our goal isn't necessarily to give you theology and book by book, breaking down Bible studies. However, it's incredibly important that you seek that out. But we wanted to kind of create a community of believers here, and be the voice of those who are, you know, sharing our testimony, who are pointing to Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's really no other way. He even said it himself. There's no other way to get to the Father but through the Son. And so that's our goal here, is to point to Jesus, to encourage you, to maybe, hopefully, share a little inspiration, and get people thinking about where they're headed in their spiritual walk, and let you know that there's a bigger reason out there, that there's a hope. So, anyway, with that being said, I did kind of want to start going through the Bible, but not necessarily verse by verse Bible study. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of guys that struggle with their faith. If I said that I never had doubts, I'd be lying. And when you have those doubts, you got to be able to go to the Bible. And I'd say, especially for a new believer or for someone who's wrestling with this, if you want to go to the Bible and you want to, if you were to ask me, hey, where should I go? And people have asked me, where should I go into the Bible? Where would you start? Where should I start? Start in the book of John. John referred to himself as the apostle whom Jesus loved. And that's because that's what John's main focus was throughout the book of John. And when I say John, I'm talking about the apostle John. I'm not talking about John the Baptist. Okay, so John was one who followed Jesus, and he and his brother Peter were the sons of thunder, and so they're very outspoken in the Bible, and this is why John wrote the book of John. He wrote the epistles, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. But I would recommend very highly starting with the book of John, because it's going to have a very unique approach to Jesus and sharing the story of one who followed Jesus, okay? And as such, what I wanted to do, and what the topic I chose for this week, is Jesus is God. I heard a bit of a scary statistic this week. I was watching a Q&A session on YouTube. You can look it up if you like, with Dr. Ravi Zacharias and with Francis Chan. And if you know Francis Chan, you know he's a speaker, a preacher. He's written several books. And so it kind of caught my attention. This isn't the type of person that Dr. Ravi usually speaks with, because he's a pastor more so than he is an apologist. And so I watched that, and while I was watching it, kind of a scary statistic came up in one of the questions, and it was that there were only 30-some-odd% of Christians actually believe that Jesus is God. And maybe you're among the, you know, the 60-some percent that don't necessarily believe that or don't know. And so I wanted to get into the Word and to show you and to prove my point that Jesus is, in fact, God. Okay, and this is hugely important as a Christian that you understand this, because there are other religions that have taken Jesus and they have minimized who he is. They'll say, oh yeah, he was a great prophet, he was the actual son of God, like the offspring, there's even religions that claim that Jesus and Satan are brothers. Totally not true. And this is hugely important because of what it means for the sacrifice that was paid on the cross, okay? And we'll get into that here in just a little bit, but I wanted to start here in the book of John. And we're going to skip a few portions here, but ultimately I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 9 through 14, and 16 through 18. And here is where John the Apostle kind of introduces us to Jesus for the first time in his book here. So it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now you could exchange Word with Jesus here, and it would say in the beginning was Jesus, and then Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Okay, In here, you'll notice Word has a capital W because it's referring to Jesus. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now we're going to skip down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now real quick here down to 16. Out of His fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. So John says very, very clearly here that Jesus is God. And he goes into great, great detail here that Jesus was in the beginning. Nothing that was made without Him. Jesus, and we'll see this later, Jesus is the beginning and the end. Okay, now let's jump over to Philippians here real quick, because this kind of creates a bit of an interesting question. Okay, well, Jesus is God, then why did He come here to earth? Why did he die? How is it that He's God and yet He faced all of these temptations? And if He's God, then really what does it mean for me, right? If God Himself came down here, then it's not really a big deal that He didn't sin, right? Because He's God. Well, let's tackle that question here real quick. So Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go verses 6 through 11, okay? So who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage? Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay. So this is a lot to swallow here. And I want to give you these verses because I'd like you to look through this for yourself. Be like the Bereans. And when you're told something, don't just take it at face value. Prima facie, right? That's something we're all pretty familiar with. Prima facie evidence. Don't just take it at face value, but actually go into the scripture here and research it for yourself, because you're gonna find that if you have a question, and I found this time and time again, that if I have a question for God, whether even if it's just theological, and it's something that I just want to know for my own sake, if I pray, especially if I have an open Bible, I'm gonna receive an answer from the Lord. It happens time and time again, and it's almost kind of a miraculous thing, because here I am with the Word of God open. This just happened to me a couple weeks ago. I was talking to my friend Jacob, and I had a question. And he and I discussed it, and I went home that evening, opened my Bible, and I got the exact answer that I was looking for. I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my buddy, because it's just amazing how God will answer you. He'll meet you right where you are, and He'll answer you. But here, this is huge to understand. Jesus is God, and yet He did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, so what this is saying is that Jesus is God. However, when Jesus came here to earth, He took on the flesh, He became a human, and He rid Himself of His divine power. And you might say, well, okay, then how did He feed the 5,000? How did He heal the sick and give sight to the blind? How did He do all these miraculous things? Well, it's because He was in constant communion and constant fellowship with God the Father. God became a man in the flesh. Yeshua came to earth, lived a sinless life as a human being, and died the death of a criminal. And was in constant fellowship with the Father. And then when He was crucified, just before He was crucified, it said that He sweat blood. That He was so stressed that He actually sweat blood. Why was this? Well, it was because He knew that He was going to be out of fellowship with the Father. He wasn't afraid of death. He wasn't afraid of the pain. He was afraid of being out of fellowship with the Father. And, I mean, there's a lesson there also. You know, you and I we're not so afraid to be out of fellowship with the Father for a while. And yet, Jesus, this man who knew absolutely that God would take care of him, he wasn't afraid of people. He wasn't afraid of death. He wasn't afraid of pain. He was afraid of something that I've not been afraid of. I mean, and yet, you know, oftentimes I'm afraid of that pain. I'm afraid of the separation from loved ones. I'm afraid of ridiculous things that Jesus would have never been afraid of. Anyhow, I digress. So if you don't grasp this, you're not really going to grasp the miracle of Jesus being crucified for us. Because unless you grasp that God actually came here, lived among us, and took our sins, and took that punishment that I deserve, it's just not the same if you think that God sent somebody else to do His dirty work. That's not it. He didn't send this really awesome guy that He created. Jesus isn't created. Jesus is God. And this is the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, but it's a mystery for a reason. We're supposed to seek God and constantly trust and seek Him. And if He was small enough to understand, He wouldn't be big enough to worship. Okay, but if you don't get it, kind of grasp that it was divinity that came here and died in our place, the one and only God died in our stead, then we're minimizing what was actually done on the cross. And it's hugely important for our faith that we understand that that's how much God loved us. He didn't send somebody else. He came Himself. He came here Himself. Lived a sinless life. Gave us evidence of who He is, died that death, and then was raised from the dead. And again, this is a bit of a mystery because, yes, Jesus is God, but at the same time, Jesus is the Son of God, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so this is the mystery of the Trinity. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds here. I recommend that if you still have questions on this, that you look up some of these very gifted Bible teachers. And one that I recommend and one that I just keep listening to lately over and over and over again through the book of Revelation especially is John Corson, because he's one that I trust and that actually breaks down scripture in a way that I understand it. There's lots of other ones. Find one and just dive into this stuff. And also, don't be afraid to take the Bible out yourself. Pray and read it. And talk with God as you go through his word. That's what this word is for. This is a conversation. This isn't just a story. This is intended to be a conversation with you and God. So, I've got on my notes here just a couple other scriptures here to prove my point. And one of them is in back here in John again, and it's chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Now here, they are the Romans are seeking out Jesus where he's going to be arrested, okay? So John chapter 18, verse 1, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with him. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So, what in the world does that mean? So, when Jesus says, "I am," he's actually quoting what God said to Moses in the burning bush. Now, if you remember the story, remember that Moses was walking by and he saw this bush that was burning. It was on fire, but the bush was not being consumed. So obviously he thought, well, that's interesting. So he approached the burning bush and he heard the voice of God saying to take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. Now God gives Moses some instruction here, and Moses asks God, "Who should I say to the Israelites? Who should I say is sending me?" And God said, and this is where we get the Tetragrammaton, the Yahweh. God said, "Tell them, I am that I am, sent you." Which is where we get the Hebrew, Yahweh. So, when Jesus says, "I am he," this entire detachment of soldiers is thrown back and knocked to the ground. Now, this isn't because Jesus is saying it. It's because Jesus is claiming, "I am God, and that's who you're looking for." And this is very powerful because it's, I don't know about you, but nobody's ever fallen over from my words. But this is another spot, and the four Gospels are just riddled with portions where Jesus claims to be God, And this is why so many times the Pharisees want to have him killed. It's because he says, I am. And with that in mind, when you go through the Gospels, you're going to see that more and more. And it's pretty amazing that he made that claim over and over again. And ultimately, when he rose from the dead, when he defeated hell, when he defeated the grave, it was proof that he was exactly who he said he was. And then I've got a couple more sections here. So first in Revelation, in the very beginning when Jesus begins to speak with John, John's on the island of Patmos here, and when he receives the revelation from Jesus. And so in chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Jesus, it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Okay, I am the beginning and the end. He says, I am the first and the last. That's another claim that he is God. Okay. So if you hear somebody say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, he did many, many times. Okay, and they've tried to skew that in the past to fit whatever religion or agenda they have. But time and time again, we see Jesus claiming to be God. So at the very end of the Bible here, in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13, we see these words in red because this is Jesus speaking again. It says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So he says, I'm the beginning and the end. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. These are very clear-cut claims from Jesus that he is God. Now, I just encourage you to go through the Bible and look at this yourself. Because, again, it's just hugely important that you understand that Jesus is God. Okay, and if you have questions about this kind of stuff, send us a message, send us an email, call us. Steve and I will do whatever we can to research whatever questions you have. And if we can't answer it, we're going to give you somebody who can. I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't claim that my faith is without any kind of doubts, because I mean, I believe it's intended to be that way. If I didn't have doubts, I wouldn't seek the Lord. Okay, I wouldn't seek out answers. And we're going to be learning about God through all eternity. And he wants us to come to him with our questions. I want my kids to come to me when they have questions. I want to be able to teach them and help them to grow in this life, just like God wants us to be able to grow in our faith with him as we walk side by side with him. And God will give you the answers. If you're looking for the way, Jesus says, I am the way. If you're looking for the truth in all of this, because that's really what it's all about. It's about truth and living that truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth. So again, thanks for tuning in. We hope that you have your questions answered here and that we offer some kind of encouragement. If there's anything that Steve and I can help you with, let us know. If it's prayers for a family, prayers for yourself, then hit us up. If you're struggling with your faith, maybe we can get coffee with you if you live nearby. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for leading us through your word and for showing us who you really are, Lord. We ask for your guidance this week. We ask for peace in our hearts. And Lord, come quickly. Amen.